This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, CliffCentral.com. Good morning, Monday, the 3rd of December. Hey, today at 8 a.m., we bring you another episode of our series, For the Love of Law, where we take you behind the desks of some of South Africa's smartest lawyers. South Africa can be a very complex place, especially in the fields of commercial and corporate law. But thanks to Jack Pahlane, many clients have obtained advice on commercial transactions, mergers, acquisitions, and BEE. Jack has been a director at Flaxman since 2004, sits on an independent trust, as an independent trustee rather, on various empowerment trusts, is chairperson of the Tax Board for the Hearing of Income Tax Appeals. For the Love of Law is brought to you by Flaxman's Attorneys, one of South Africa's leading law firms. Take a listen, you'll get to know what real lawyers are like. Find out more at cliffcentral.com. Good morning. All right, so said by Sia, we didn't get a chance to do just a second ago, so we're going to do it now, and then we've got some stories in the news with Leanne. Your calls, 0861-555-189, and a whole bunch more. Sia, what do you got for us today? Let's go straight to it, shall we? Ooh, oh, what's that? That's not how it's meant to go.
Thought we were doing something different today.
I think that was Fleetwood Mac that started. All right, sorry. Go back to you, Sia. All right. As you were, here's your song by Pharrell, who you saw over the weekend.
I didn't drill out, thank you.
All right.
Pick up the name you just dropped there. Cool. Kudos to these teams from Durban who are just doing their bit to make a difference. So these are people who work on beachfront-facing restaurants, and they're the staff there. So the waiters, some of the cooks as well, who have really just banded up together to clean up the local beaches down there. So there's a photo and a video that have just gone viral on Facebook over the past couple of days of someone who snapped these teams just at first not even understanding what they were doing, but then found out the backstory and thought this is cooler than anything else, because these waiters are all just banding up together to firstly face what is going on when it comes to littering in local beaches, and realizing that no one else is doing it, no changes being made, so they took it into their own hands to clean the environment. So every couple of days and so on, they all just, in their downtime, they don't get paid for this, they don't want any praise at all. They just do this out of making a difference in their own accord. They go down to the beach and they pick up litter, and I think this is so incredible. They also said that part of their motivation in doing this is as they get the festive season started, this is now the time where there'll be more guests, and there obviously will then be more littering, and they say they don't want to see the beaches looking horrible, and also the animals afterwards bearing the brunt of this. So local waitresses all in Durban are spending their downtime cleaning up the beaches just before the festive season rush kicks in. I think that's really inspirational. So kudos to them this morning for Sebastia.
All right. So a couple of things that we need to talk about this morning. First of all, is that giant cow thing an actual story?
Yeah.
Because I saw it. Yes.
Yes, I'm so excited. Yeah.
All right, because I saw this picture and I was like, nah, that's been doctored. It's one of these fake news stories that gets spread around. People, I shared it because I thought, well, if it is fake, it'll be funny.
A friend of mine just commented saying, yummy.
It's totally real. He's totally real. Knickers is his name.
Knickers, yeah. How giant is he?
He's like almost double the size of a normal cow.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, and to be quite accurate, they're calling him the giant cow, but he's a giant steer, really, which is a castrated male.
Mm-hmm.
He's nearly 2 meters tall. He weighs 1,400 kilograms. That's 1.4 tons. He's a Holstein Friesian, and he literally stands out like a sore thumb amongst his herd, and has become a viral online celebrity. So why has this happened to Knickers? And when I say he's huge, I mean, I've sent you a video so you can have a look, but it's he's just this big, gentle giant. So he's the classic black and white looking cow with the classic cow markings. And the farm that he's on, he's with a whole lot of other cows or bulls who are brown, and they look so tiny next to him. He stands out really, he really does stand out, and he's a beautiful animal. He's very gentle. He shows all the other cows what to do because he's been there for the longest.
Wow, so he's also a nice cow.
He's a really nice cow.
Oh, plot twist, Leanne.
Good steer. But why does this happen? There's several reasons why it could. Most likely
the parents cause had sex under the full moon. Or
No, most likely is because of acromegaly, which is a condition in which the body produces an excess of growth hormone. We've seen this in humans, you know.
Is that what happened to the rock?
Yes, it could very well have been. Or, in fact, the actor Richard Kiel, who played Jaws in James Bond films.
Ah, yes.
He was a famous acromegaly sufferer.
Mm-hmm.
The world's tallest man, Robert Wadlow, he grew to 2.72 meters. That's 8 foot 11.
Hmm.
So, untreated, and this is most likely what Nickers has, in humans it is associated with heart problems, raised blood pressure, diabetes, disease of the joints.
Mm-hmm.
The heart can become enlarged because of the strain of pushing blood around the oversized body.
Yeah.
So he has been saved from the slaughter purely because he's an absolute feat of nature.
Right.
But what's quite interesting is that sometimes entire species of animals, so not just one individual animal, sometimes the whole species can grow to become giants. And this is your favorite of those, is the Komodo dragon, where the whole species has grown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about them anymore, shall we?
No. But, yeah, so...
So, lucky Nickers.
Nickers.
Get saved from slaughter.
He walks around so slowly and gently, and he's just living the life. He's very happy.
194 centimeters high and weighs 1.4 tons.
That's more than your average car.
Yes.
Well, plot twist. In Canada, it turns out there's an even bigger steer.
Oh, yeah?
No.
6'5". His name is Dozer. And Dozer was saved by a vegan after just 5 months. Now, Dozer was destined for the slaughterhouse and a beef-producing farm in Alberta. And this vegan said, no, Dozer's so cute. I want Dozer. And didn't think anything of it. And then, obviously, when Nickers shot to fame last week, they were thinking, like, wow, maybe Dozer's even bigger. Let's measure him. 6'5".
Wow.
So bigger than Nickers by an inch is Dozer, also a steer,
uh-huh.
A big black steer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, in Canada.
They're like the size of elephants. So huge.
They are pretty damn big by comparison, especially with other cows.
Sometimes what happens with these animals, in this case, I doubt that it's that. But some animals that live on islands without predators.
Yeah.
So that they don't gain a hiding advantage from being small, they can evolve to grow much bigger.
Huh.
And that's what's happened with the Komodo dragon. So if you...
I said we don't want to talk about them anymore.
Sorry.
Oh. But like, Leanne, the only thing that's going to be a predator to the Komodo dragon is they bring back a Tyrannosaurus rex.
Ooh. Yeah, nothing else will
nothing
eat.
Else will
nothing, will, nothing wants to eat those things. They're revolting.
Nothing else is as evil.
If that thing gets into the ocean, the great white sharks swim away and yelp.
Well, there might be big cows in the world that we didn't notice very much before this year, but there's a lot of comparison going on around this new Lion King movie.
Mm.
A lot of people saying that the original was brilliant. Why do we need to redo it? Because this is animated and it's made to look a lot more lifelike. And
live
there are even
action.
people doing reenactments.
Yes.
Of all of this with their house pets, but. But the phrase Hakuna Matata, which comes from The Lion King, apparently that's trademarked.
Hmm.
Well, someone owns that. Someone actually should get paid every time it's used.
There's a big row behind it, and it's obviously come up again as this hype around the live-action remake, brews. So in recent days, angry opinion pieces have sprung up. I mean, Hakuna Matata is anything... is about anything but anger. Now everyone's angry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Swahili phrase, very well known. It means no problems or no worries,
mm-hmm.
and is a common expression throughout East Africa. But to the rest of the world, it's best known from The Lion King. Walt Disney registered a trademark for the phrase for their merchandise.
Huh.
And so some Kenyan newspapers have accused Walt Disney or Disney of stealing from Kenyan culture by claiming ownership of the phrase.
Well, why didn't you guys trademark it?
Well, we don't think about trademarking everything when it comes out of our mouths. Trademark that they're talking about is not new. U.S. records show that it was first filed back in 1994, coinciding with the movie's original release. So some other catchphrases that were claimed as trademarks. Mm-hmm. Remember, that's hot.
Oh, Paris Hilton, that's hot.
Yep.
Really?
That's hot.
That's been trademarked?
She loved it so much that she trademarked it in 2004 for merchandising reasons.
Yeah, that's smart.
The move paid off because just a few years later, when she got into a dispute about its use with Hallmark cards, the company had portrayed her as a waitress using the catchphrase on a spoof greetings card.
I tried to trademark "It's Puzza Thursdays," but I just decided it wasn't worth it.
A lot of effort has to go into it.
Yeah, and then I ended up seeing people with they made all kinds of merchandise and various stores with "It's Puzza Thursday" written on it. It was definitely my saying, but
So how does trademarking work? You would have to either be cited or get monetary gain if it's your idea.
Well, if it's your phrase, they can't use it to sell other things. So you can use it. Anyone can say Hakuna Matata. You don't have to pay Disney. But if I make a bottle of water and I call it Hakuna Matata water, and that phrase belongs to Disney, then they can sue me.
Yeah, if I was Kenya, I'd be pretty pissed off about that.
You would?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
There's also the
they
phrase...
They should have been making it a world sensation before Disney had to go and buy it.
Well, then we'd better think of a couple that we need to save before anyone buys it.
What was that really... there was that horrible one that MTN used to...
Ayoba.
Oh. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't like that. Glad no one else registered that one.
Oh.
You remember the Nigerian novelist Chinua Achebe? He wrote Things Fall Apart.
Yes.
And he found himself at the center of an unlikely dispute with 50 Cent back
Why?
In 2011.
50 Cent?
Yeah.
What happened?
50 Cent Fetty shot a film with the same name.
Oh, yeah?
Of his influential 1958 novel Things Fall Apart.
Well, doesn't the earliest one just automatically get the ownership?
Well, sometimes no. I just know from my pop culture experience, Kylie Jenner actually trademarked Kylie and speed...
Whoa, back off.
Yeah, she one-upped Kylie Minogue through courts and whatnot. I don't know how her team was able to justify it, but Kylie Jenner was able to trademark Kylie and beat off Kylie Minogue for it.
Jeez.
Taylor Swift has trademarked a number of key phrases from her most well-known songs.
Yeah.
The Sick Beat is trademarked.
Really?
Oh, from, what's the song? My Girlfriend. Shake It Off.
Party Like It's 1989 is trademarked.
Okay.
Because we never go out of style. Nice to meet you, where have you been? Oh, it's actually Where You Been. Oh.
That's terrible.
Oh,
nice to meet you, where you been. I could show you incredible things.
All right, thank you, Sia.
You Cannot Be Serious is another one that's been trademarked by...
Who?
John McEnroe.
Oh.
That was during his famous...
You Cannot Be Serious!
His 1981 Wimbledon rant. So the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office records show that he trademarked the famous phrase first in television entertainment and then for T-shirts.
Okay.
And then in 2014 it wasn't renewed, so it's up for grabs again.
If you want that, steal it from McEnroe.
Wow, guys.
And then he'll run at you with his racket and go, "You cannot be serious!" Are there any others?
Yeah, another two that I know of here is I Pity the Fool.
Oh, that's Mr. T.
Yes. Ironically, he doesn't hold the trademark over the use of Mr. T itself.
But he's got I Pity the Fool.
Yes, he's got a pity
the fool. It's only right that he should have that.
Mr. T is actually held by a company in Illinois over a... a foam T-shaped scrubber device used for household cleaning needs.
So he doesn't even own his own name. Okay, yeah. All right.
And finally, you're fired.
Oh, Donald Trump.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired. Is he the owner?
Yes, he is. Well, he tried. And so in 2004, he tried to trademark four variations of the phrase. I don't know what sort of variations, but anyway.
You are fired. You're fired.
You fired.
You fired.
on categories ranging from alcoholic drinks to casino services, but lawyers in the U.S. patent and trademark offices were having none of it. They thought that it would be mistaken for an educational board game called You're Hired.
Oh. That's kind of different.
So, yeah.
All right.
Well, he didn't succeed in that.
Well, that's all pretty interesting, but I'm getting a lot of feedback from people who went to the Global Citizens concert mm-hmm. about how difficult it was to get to and from the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
So someone called Iman said, after the concert, a lot of people needed Ubers to get home. There were too many people, too few Ubers, so whenever you called one, it kept indicating that all the services were unavailable. Mm. Now you imagine, it's 1 a.m. You're exhausted.
It's your only way home.
Only way home. Mm. Instead of waiting for an Uber, my friend's brother said he'd fetch us. The roads were chaos, so we had to wait. We decided it would be safe for us to wait at the Cecil garage. It was filled with people crammed against the doors of the store that were locked and guarded by a security guard. We walked a little further down to get a signal, still in the garage, but where the picnic benches were. A man ran up to my friend and stole her phone.
Oh, see.
It happened within a second. We hurried back to where the crowd was. 2 minutes later, a girl screamed. Her phone was stolen, and the thief had run off. A short while after that, a girl came past clutching herself. She was mugged, and a knife was pulled on her.
Oh my word.
The security and the police were around, but did nothing. We didn't know what to do. We couldn't go anywhere because men were stealing and harassing people all around us. We were basically corralled in. We decided to stay among the obviously scared and startled crowd. Strength in numbers, you know. Then a gunshot went off and people started running.
Holy mackerel.
Iman says, I've never been so scared. While people were running, trying to save themselves, men were coming in close and trying to steal bags and phones. No one and nowhere were we safe. We luckily found a group of guys that my friends had met inside the concert. They let us stand with them and made a circle around us so that we'd be safe. More gunshots went off. Oh, someone started tasering people.
Hell to
the police did nothing. No one could leave because the cars were backlogged, Ubers were unavailable. Two girls ran up to our group and asked the guys if they could stay with us. They'd just jumped out of a moving vehicle. A police officer offered to escort them back to the garage in his police car. One of the girls had a bad gut feeling and asked to be let out. The police officer refused and locked the doors. They'd already passed the Cecil garage. She said she needed to throw up, but he told her to throw up in the car and didn't open the door. She pleaded with him that she was sick. He opened the doors and they escaped. I'm disgusted, terrified, and shaken by what happened. I'm sharing this because I don't think it'll make headlines. Ironically, the concert was about ending poverty and seeking justice. There was just nothing just about tonight.
Holy cow.
Can you imagine how scary that is? Mm. Why is it we can't... I mean, here's this big event, right? And of course, none of the celebrities, the VIPs, or Patrice Motsepe would have seen any of this stuff. They'd probably helicoptered in and out. But for ordinary people who wanted to have a good night, mm-hmm. this is a terrible way for it to end.
How vulnerable you feel without having a car around you for protection.
You don't have a car, you don't have any other means to get out because nothing's moving. And then your phone gets stolen, your bag gets taken, people are robbing left, right, and center.
Gunshots. Oh, no. Oh,
horrible.
Imagine.
Huh? Someone's saying, this is why I never go to the stadium for big events. Chaos that ensues after every event is crazy. Stadium management doesn't seem to care. Best thing to do is to wait inside the stadium until the crowds have dissipated, or leave a bit earlier than the event ends.
That's a good idea. Stay in there.
Isn't that awful?
But then you stay in there for how long?
No, you could be there until 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Yeah, but like, how hard could it be to have a cab zone designated? So only the cabs go to the zone, and it stands there.
Even with that, but it's how do you ensure the flow.
Here's the problem,
Mike.
The police can't be trusted, and they're useless. The police are useless. When anything happens, the police stand around like spectators. Metro police are just as useless. They like to block roads and do nothing to help things to move. I mean, if you just left people alone, they'd figure it out.
Mm.
But because they blocked off the roads and made it that much harder for people, it's impossible. And this idea that you're not safe at a... I mean, the garages now have to become refuges for people. That you have to go back to, like, what primitive man used to form a circle and put the women in the middle.
But it's interesting how the garage was closed, because clearly they were fearing
They knew this has happened before.
Peed or some sort of looting would take place.
Obviously, this is what happens there.
Because what do you even begin to do at that hour? It's late at night. It's dark. We know how Nazareth is. You know, it's not exactly resourceful. There aren't street lights a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's no CCTV footage if you're trying to walk down the road and you're waiting for an Uber. Oh, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely done with live events.
Yeah, look, I was content with the 25 minutes of Beyonce and Jay-Z that we got. Because
well, I mean, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater, because I'm sure that there were loads of good things that happened as a result of this. And there is something incredible about someone who believes in sharing their knowledge selflessly. Now, we're going to meet a guy called Lorenzo Escobar, who's doing his best with a new commitment in South Africa. He's a Canadian-born entrepreneur who achieved success in the automotive industry. He's now focused on inspiring aspiring entrepreneurs as he works with the Africa Rising Foundation. That's with Ndaba Mandela. So I want to find out all about Lorenzo. Let's see what his secret to success is. He was at the auction. We had Entlen here the other day, Black Coffee's wife, Entlen Bali, and she came to talk to us about this event that she had at the Nelson Mandela House in Houghton. And apparently Lorenzo was there. So we'll find out from him about that and a whole lot of other stuff. He is originally from Canada. He's in the country for the Global Citizens Festival. He also attended the private auction at the Mandela Home, coordinated by Entlen Bali. And an entrepreneur and founder of Inception Automotive Detailing, a multi-award-winning professional automotive detail company, which has serviced the greater Toronto area with clients ranging from individuals to multi-billion-dollar corporations. He founded his company in 2011 at the age of just 18. Look at you. Wow. That's a hell of a CV, man.
Thanks for having me here.
Sure. Nice to meet you, Lorenzo.
Nice to meet you as well.
Good. First of all, how did the auction go and did you buy anything?
I actually thought of bidding something on a coin where the starting bid was actually 50,000 rand. That's why I thought was reasonable.
What
so,
coin was that?
It was actually a commemorative of Nelson Mandela.
Okay.
So from what I recall, his face was there and everything.
And were you outbid?
I didn't end up bidding, but I really, really contemplated on bidding for that one coin, and then things got a bit more interesting.
What were the other big ticket items?
Definitely the paintings that Madiba painted himself. So there was one where it was actually one was where he made a painting of the jail cell he was in.
Oh wow!
So that was actually the highest ticketed item.
I'm
so
sure.
I recall it started first with rands, and then eventually it turned to U.S. dollars at the end.
You run out of rands, it's like Monopoly money. You go into dollars. Wow.
Yeah. So from what I recall, it was about 1.2 million rands that was sold. The value of that painting. So, and as a bonus, so the winning bidder actually got some tea time with Dr. Mandela herself.
Very nice. So you've been to South Africa before, or is this your first time?
It's actually my third time this year.
Very good. So tell me about what you're doing here with Global Citizen.
With Global Citizen, I was invited to attend the event. So I was in the concert yesterday, and that was a very long concert.
How long were you there? What time did you get in, and what time did you get out?
I got out around 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, you must have been exhausted.
And I got in at noontime.
Oh, wow. You must have been hungry and tired.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And you came in to see us this morning.
Exactly. Well, I'll do what it takes, right?
I'm so impressed. I really am. So tell me what the concert was like, because I didn't go, Leanne didn't go, Sia didn't even go, and he had tickets. But a lot of people were saying it was really good, despite the fact that it was long.
It was amazing. The real party started, I would say, around 4 o'clock-ish when Pharrell Williams came on stage to perform. So there was Pharrell Williams, Ed Sheeran. Obviously, the last ones were Beyonce and Jay-Z. That mm-hmm. was wild.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, that was wild for sure. And then there was Usher, Wizkid, Casper Neovest, and many more. So
you enjoyed it?
I loved it. I loved every moment of it. The energy was just amazing, where pretty much the stadium was... it was almost pretty much a sold-out event.
It looked like it was packed.
Oh, packed. I would say about 60,000.
Where were you? Where were your tickets? Were they good?
I was at level 1, block 101. Okay. Exactly. So almost like front like seating. So I pretty much saw the whole crowd. And
that sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So tell me a little bit about your business and how you kind of started off, because I mentioned this automotive detailing. Yeah. What exactly is that?
So actually, the term that they use here is valet.
Okay.
The valet service. So it's the same thing in the UK as well, too. So pretty much what you're doing is you're cleaning cars to a point where it looks like new again, where it's just as if you bought it.
Oh, wow.
So I started this business by accident. It's not something that I planned at all, because what happened was when I was in first year university, so varsity here, I was in the business course there, and as a typical student, you know, I had debt, and then I had to figure a way how to pay the bill. So it was in 2011, so I was 18 years old there. I'm 26 now.
You started this business for like, what, $1,000 or something?
$1,200. So $200 in cash, and I applied for a credit card, a student credit card. So I had two $500 credit limit, right? So that's how the $1,000 came to be.
Okay.
So pretty much I bootstrapped everything. So I learned how to design a website. I learned how to do the Google advertising, learned how to import your equipment and your chemicals. And then it was just more of out of necessity, because I tried to find other work elsewhere. So I applied to over 20 places, and I either got rejected or just didn't hear anything from that business, right? And
a lot of people think usually when they get rejected once or twice, oh, it's over. This is not going to happen for me, which is terrible, right? Because you have to keep on trying.
You have to keep on trying, and then it all takes just that one yes where it could make a big difference in your life.
By the way, I just got to point out that we'll get to the different steps in the story, but from all those rejections, you now have clients like Tesla.
Yes.
I mean, it's not small.
No.
This is a very big deal.
It is a very big deal indeed. And then even just getting that contract with Tesla was by accident as well. So I tried, like I said, I tried to apply to so many places, but I got rejected to a point where I was down, where pretty much it's like, oh, no one wants me. So I had to figure a way how to make money regardless. So the only way I thought of was just creating the economy for yourself. So that's why maybe I should just get into the business world, create my own work, and then create my own schedule to fit with my school.
And did you actually start off cleaning the cars yourself?
Yes, that's right. Everything was self-taught.
You got your hands dirty. You learned how to polish the metal and clean the leather and everything else.
Yeah, that's right. Like, even when I was starting, I didn't even have a proper uniform. So it was just like the t-shirt, shorts, like even sandals as well, or flip-flops during summertime.
Right, sure.
So I would actually go to people's houses and come on site, and then and also did door-to-door, and then just asking them, hey, are you interested in getting your cars cleaned? And so I would charge at a very low rate, just to, you know, cover the bills and get by. Then eventually people started talking about the work, how good it is, and I got into the car clubs, and they all started posting to review my work on the forums, and I got more and more messages from people. So that's how I managed to build my online presence. But at the same time, I did serve in the Canadian Army as well for a part-time reservist. I was
the Canadian Army.
Yes. So,
what does that involve?
So it was. This was by choice.
First of all, does anyone even know that there is a Canadian Army?
What's it for?
I thought America kind of did that for you guys. Do you have a Canadian Army?
Yeah, we do have an army. Wow. Not that big compared to the US, but they do serve a lot in during peacekeeping with the UN as well.
Sure.
Too. So I did it for the experience as well, where I learned how to be in terms of discipline, working under stress. So that's where things were actually managed to transfer it into the business world. So I did that part time. I was still in school full time at the same time. So that's how I was able to get by. And by the time I graduated university, that's when I decided to be a full time business owner, and then just grew it from there. And now this was a good story, actually. So. So just before my 23rd birthday, I actually got in contact with Google Canada, where they were inquiring for somebody to come on site to the Canadian headquarters office in Waterloo to detail the employee vehicles.
That would have been a nice contract,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I got it was actually an email inquiry, and I ended up having the meeting with the facility coordinator, and she said, she explained to us what they were looking for, and then I pretty much said that, yeah, we can get it all done. And I didn't mention that I was the only guy, right?
You were going to do all the cars.
Yeah, I did all the cars. But
So did you actually, like, pretend when you were talking to them? You didn't lie, but you said,
no.
Oh, well, yeah, we've got this company, and there's a few of us. I could service all your cars.
Yeah, we could definitely service the cars. And
how many cars were they looking at having done?
During summertime, usually about, depends, 50 to 70 cars at a time at the head office.
And how long would you have to do those 50 to 70 cars?
Well, in terms of what they were looking for, we only had an allowance of 2 to 2.5 hours per vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you'd have to do them all yourself.
I did get extra help. So
I should hope so.
Yeah, I did get extra help. So
you have been exhausted. Yeah. You died.
But what was interesting was this. So I said, how did you hear about us, right? Because we were located in a different city. And,
right.
And where the Canadian headquarters is for Google, they were about 45 minutes to an hour away. And then they said, yeah, we found you on Google. So Google found us on Google.
Brilliant.
So that's the irony. And then so I got the gig just before my 23rd birthday. So that was interesting. So a year later, so Tesla, it was the same thing. Somebody actually called up the phone. Somebody was looking for, detailing their cars, right? So how I got this contract first, so a year before Tesla called us, we actually landed a partnership for charging of the cars. So Tesla provided us some of their own proprietary chargers on our business location where any Tesla owner can come to your shop. Well, so while your cars are getting cleaned, we actually provide free...
We charge them as well.
Yeah, free charging. So it's like giving them free gas in a way.
That's pretty damn cool.
But how I got that charging partnership, so this was actually during the Christmas holiday. I was actually drunk, and it was 2 in the morning. It was 2 in the morning, and I sent a crazy proposal on their contact box on the website, and I actually heard from somebody 2 days later saying how we got approved.
Wow.
Yeah. So everything was done by accident. Where,
that's amazing.
It was never something that I planned for in the first place.
How incredible. So tell me, I mean, a lot of people give millennials and Generation Z people a hard time, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
They make the point that these are not hardworking people. They don't actually like getting their hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously nonsense, because that
flies
in the face of what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so many other young people who want to make a start in the world,
mm-hmm.
who want to make things happen. I would imagine that it was very tough in the beginning, but that it's quite gratifying now to look back. And you go around the world now and you do these speaking gigs where people want to hear your story and they want to hear stories associated with yours. So what's your feeling now on how many people, on why or what people's reason is for being so mean about millennials and Generation Z people?
Well, sometimes they think that a lot of them are entitled for a lot of things, where they say, okay, I have a degree now. Because a lot of us were raised in a sense where we were told that, you know, if you do well in school, if you get a good job, and work your way up the corporate ladder, and they've been emphasizing as to you need a degree in order to get hired by companies. So the issue here is that so more and more people are crowding to get more of these degrees, where it's hard to differentiate yourself from others, because when companies hire, one of the questions they would ask is like, what's unique about you? Why should we hire you?
Right.
So now, because everybody has the same degree or they have degrees that's not even relevant to their industry, so that's why with some companies, sometimes they don't end up hiring them. You know, for me, like, I still finished school regardless, so it's nice to have a safety net. So in case if I went down under, I can bring these experiences to the corporate world. But obviously, that's not the case, right? So we're doing very well, and I'm really proud of that. So when it comes to the entitlement, just because like we were raised in this way,
entitlement,
where
entitlement, that's what they call it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they were saying that, okay, yeah, in order to get a good job, you need to get a degree. And then we were taught in a way that we felt that, it's guaranteed, we're guaranteed to get a job once you graduate university. Because in the older days, that's usually the case, where we have a lot of stories where once they graduated, they were offered a job right away, so they got their own house at that point. But obviously, with millennials nowadays, a lot of them are staying longer at their parents' home, so even in their early 30s as well.
Right.
So I've been hearing about this.
So, look, I mean, it's a great opportunity for you to meet various South Africans who might want to start their own businesses as well. And obviously being part of the Global Citizen situation here was very cool. But it's lovely to meet you and wish you luck. And I hope that we'll see you again soon and we'll read about you in the Forbes list one day.
Definitely. I'll be back here soon enough.
All right, man. Very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Wow. So that's pretty cool. There's all kinds of interesting people in the country at the moment. Lorenzo Escobar, entrepreneur and speaker. And if you want to know more, you can go along to cliffcentral.com. We'll make all of these podcasts available a little bit later on today. So I'm getting some interesting feedback from people about all of the craziness that ensued after the Global Citizens concert yesterday.
Sure.
Seems
there's
a lot. Yeah. Oh, there's also some other noise around Julius Malema and Mazzotti, you know, the cigarette salesman dude, the illegal cigarette dude. So apparently he's just put out a statement just a couple of minutes ago. Do you want to hear this? This is Mazzotti. He says, I have been subjected to various vicious media attacks for a myriad of reasons, which include political agendas with ulterior motives. The most critical allegations emanated from Jacques Poe's book, The President's Keepers, which contains many factually incorrect, misleading, distorted, and defamatory allegations. Mr. Poe ostensibly relied on an affidavit which I deposed to in 2014, which affidavit was a confidential document prepared for the sole and exclusive benefit of SARS. So he goes on to say, Mr. Poe did not even bother to interview me, which supports my view that he had no intention of publishing objectively. So he's complaining, saying that he's being reported on unfairly. Julius is saying that he has this friendship. They have an agreement about some properties and some business arrangements. But all of this is very, very ugly and messy. And we know that Julius has some particularly nasty benefactors.
Who do you think is the most believable?
I think both of these people are not to be trusted.
Okay.
But that's just me. I don't think that they're very... I don't think these are honest people. Apparently, Mantua Malema pays a market-related rental through the leasing agent for use of a property in Johannesburg, that's in Houghton, sorry, in Hyde Park. He did not disclose the amount being paid, and Mantua is, of course, Julius's wife.
Yes.
And their children that live in a Hyde Park property owned by Adriano Mazzotti. So it gets, the plot gets thicker.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Dude, what do we make of this, Ben? Crooks.
They're all horrible crooks. Take money out of politics. Fuck, I hate these people. Sorry. It's not exactly a nice turn of phrase, but yes, they're dreadful.
And I see there's also lots of noise about e-tolls, but Leanne's got a story for us because there's so much going on, we have to sift through this stuff. There's an Egyptian actress called Rania Youssef who's been charged just for wearing a revealing dress.
So how revealing do you think is revealing?
In Egypt, if you show your wrists or your ankles, it's considered like porn.
Well, she's wearing what most people would describe as a granny costume, like a swimsuit, but with netting over it.
Right, so she's mostly covered. I mean, it's a sexy dress, don't get me wrong.
But she's actually having to appear in court after being accused of inciting debauchery.
Well, oh no.
Yes.
I mean, come on. She says she probably miscalculated in wearing the dress.
Shame, now she's the victim.
She wore it to the Cairo Film Festival. So it was a lacy black see-through outfit that exposed most of her legs, outraging many Egyptians, although some said that she should be able to wear what she wanted. She could be jailed for up to 5 years if found guilty.
Yeah, that's how it works. Aren't you glad you don't live in Egypt?
The charge is inciting debauchery.
You see, this is madness. It's madness.
She has apologized, saying that she wouldn't have worn the dress if she knew it would have caused such controversy.
Poor girl, can you imagine what a state she's in? She doesn't want to go to jail for wearing a dress.
5 years.
Yeah. This is what happens. This is what happens when the religious nutcases take over and have control of government.
The lawyers who filed the complaint say Mrs. Youssef's appearance did not meet societal values, traditions, and morals, and therefore undermined the reputation of the festival and the reputation of Egyptian women in particular.
Oh, this poor woman. Rania Youssef, God, you have my sympathy. Mm-mm. Move out of Egypt, honey. Go to a civilized country. Go to a country where they've got where they've got people with brains and control.
She has had to reaffirm her commitment to the values upon which we're raised. Upon she were raised in Egyptian society. Upon which she were raised.
Was raised.
What?
And who says that?
Your grammar are terrible this morning.
I can't do it. You know?
Okay. Who says?
Yeah, who that,
well,
decides
these lawyers say society, right? And you'll probably find in like broad Egyptian society, they do think it's debauchery.
Mm.
She's promoting debauchery. Can you imagine? What kind of nonsense is this? This is where your society needs to have its heads read collectively.
Also, looking at ancient Egypt and what they wore then.
Oh, yeah, they got away with way skimpier stuff. But that's not what we're talking about. This is religious police. This is when people start to allow themselves to be regulated in their private world by a government. It's crazy. And not only a government, but a theocratic government.
But not even a warning?
No. Straight to trouble for her. Straight to jail or straight to fines.
Right next to the murderers and the fraudsters and the rapists. And then you also have to sit there.
So Carl says, what's most perplexing is that the Chiropractor Association have a film festival in Egypt. The Cairo Film Festival? No, we got you. We got you, Carl. So a few more interesting messages that are coming through from people. Have you guys been paying attention to how the team's name of the Mzansi Leagues are so weird? Yes, Mfundo. We had that with Ben. The Paul Rocks, for example.
Could have been worse, though, all things considered.
Do you remember what were the teams called during that Indian Premier League, the IPL? There were some pretty horrible names there, too.
Well, the Global T20 International League, that was the failed predecessor for the Mzansi Super League. There were some fruity names. Benoni Zalme, the Durban Calanders, because they were owned by Pakistan Indian companies, UAE people.
Zalme.
It was going to be the Cape Town Knight Riders franchise from the Odyssey.
Good morning, guys. I'm Wanda. I'm messaging you from a very wet Cape Town. All I want to say is my baby sister was in tears last night watching Beyonce in South Africa, so I can only imagine Sia was on cloud nine with Oprah and Beyonce. An overdose on happiness. Well, he didn't go to the show, though. He watched it on TV. Brendan says, hey, guys, I registered for Easy Equities. I chose Invest as the referral, and I'm having some trouble there. Okay, well, we'll sort that out for you, Brendan. Roxanne says, my sister's friends also got mugged at the concert last night. It sounds like this was hell.
Mm-mm.
I just want you to picture this for a second. And we talk about how, you know, they want to send this Egyptian actress to jail because she wore a certain dress. But we live in a country that we purport to be civilized. And yet, you go to a concert, an international concert, that is of the highest supposed quality in terms of the performers that are there and the speakers that are there and the money that's been put into it. And it's meant to be a concert that's about peace and justice and sorting things out, taking responsibility for the world. And then the people who are at that concert are put in mortal danger on their way home. I can't imagine anything more scary.
Look, it would happen in other parts of the world. It would happen with pickpocketers in the UK.
But it sounds to me like this was just totally out of control.
Garage. When you listen to the garage situation, it's a whole lot worse.
Horrible, right?
Well, then, knock on wood, we don't have that shooter trend yet. Well, don't even want to say yet, not at all. You know, in the States, I don't know how people in the States go to any events now out in public, because I'd be so paranoid. Mm. What if there is someone with a gun? What if something happens? What, you know, all of these things rushing through your head. But the irony of what happened last night then.
Mm. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I'm driving from Jersey to Bloom, says Lehlo, and I had to say streaming is holding despite the lack of coverage on the highway. The show makes driving a bit better. I cannot wait to get to Joburg. My bloom is so dry. But they have awesome looking women.
Your bloom?
My bloom is so dry.
I didn't know where
pharmacy can sort that out.
Yeah, Lehlo, we must send you to the pharmacy. And then Dan says, Ben, the problem with the Super League being on SABC is you can't watch the highlights on catch up or anywhere else for that matter. That's from Daniel.
Yeah, this is true. It is like the whole schedule thing is quite tough, and that's why the games are at 7 as well, because that's the only time they can really broadcast. So, yeah, it's a first year. Hopefully they can get something around this, or at least online. But then again, SABC and online, who knows? At least online provides something for the fans to get that.
Yeah.
Because that's how we become accustomed to watch sport now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people watch online. And then
Tabo says, I've started my own party. I'm calling it Enough. And then I'm going to form a coalition with Patricia Little's party, Good. And it'll be Good Enough.
Good Enough. Yeah, why wasn't it called, instead of Good, like Fantastic or Unbeatable?
Better.
Or
Fantastic.
Less shit.
Top notch. Top notch.
I actually like Enough.
Did you guys see that idiot security guard trying to shoot the EFF with a paintball gun? He was attacked by a group of EFF supporters who was trying to bludgeon the guy with a hammer. Stupid behavior all around. By the way, the EFF also destroyed a Vodacom store in Limpopo.
Yeah, I don't understand what that was about.
I first of all, you know, let me put it to you this way. If you were around in Germany in the 1930s, the Nazi party started doing this with Jewish businesses, right? They would go in, they'd break the windows, they'd threaten and intimidate, they'd destroy the shops. And if you could go back to 1930, would you ban the Nazi party?
Of course.
You would, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Especially if they're behaving like this, criminals.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a good reason to start thinking about whether or not we should ban the EFF. Mm. And I never thought I'd say that. But if they can't control themselves, if they're breaking the law, and this is not the first time they did it with H&M, they've done it with several other businesses. I think they did it with one of the petrol stations a while ago. It seems when the EFF have a beef with somebody, they just go and destroy stuff. Now, someone has to be held criminally responsible for this. There's damage to property. There's arson. There's threats to people's private security. There are often people intimidated and people even hurt by the EFF and their supporters. If there's any difference, and I'm more than happy to hear any comparisons that might be more favorable. I'd like to hear from people who think that it's outrageous to compare the two. But this is kind of what the Nazi party did in the 1930s in Germany. They intimidated, they destroyed property, they broke windows, they damaged goods, they threatened people. This is precisely what they did. And I'm a student of history, this is what I study. How are we allowing this to happen here with the EFF? And if you could go back in time and ban the Nazi party in the 1930s, the early 30s, don't you think the world would have been a safer place?
What needs to happen for them to be banned?
Well, first of all, we need a national prosecuting authority who can actually lay criminal charges against them. We need these companies who are brave enough to stand up to them to ban them, to abolish their... If I'm sure that someone in the EFF hierarchy has a Vodacom number, they should just have them blacklisted immediately. If you're going to destroy our shops, you can't use our network.
Mm.
That's where you got to start. Someone's got to be brave enough to stand up to these guys and to not tolerate this intimidation. And something must be done now because it's going to get a lot messier.
I don't think the EFF would go away if it were banned as a party.
No, they won't go away, but we can make their lives a lot harder. It'll be much harder for them to phone, to use texts, to use SMSs, to use WhatsApps. I mean, if you're a network like Vodacom, you can do quite a lot to make the world a bit worse for the EFF, right?
Their gatherings would become illegal.
That's correct. There's lots that can be done. I'm just wondering, because it occurred to me over the weekend, seeing all of this violence and all of this destruction.
And how it's almost become a norm for them.
It has become a norm, and it made me think of what happened in Germany not so long ago. And we all know what the eventual outcome of that was.
Yeah, it wasn't good. Really wasn't good.
So maybe it's time to think about this. And I'm not trying to be alarmist. I'm not trying to be, in some way to make people feel that the world is suddenly a whole lot less safe. But if the EFF continue to behave like this, I can tell you the road that we will go down is not a good road. Someone somewhere has to say enough.
Mm.
And I'm thinking it should be our political leadership. It should be the police. There should be something done. Otherwise, what is the point? Otherwise, what is government there for? If we can be intimidated and our stuff destroyed by a mob, effectively that's all the EFF are, a mob, then where is the rule of law? Where is the police? Where's the minister? Where's the president? to say enough.
Mm.
If they're not doing that, what are they doing? Talking at the Global Citizen Concert?
Talking halala. About change.
Halala! Do me a favor. We can all manage perfectly well without your halalas. Why don't you instead send us a policeman or two to defend people at a garage outside the concert that you were at, Mr. President? And a little bit more in terms of protecting people's private property and businesses when the EFF decide that they're going to come in like hooligans and destroy it. How about that? All right, that's all we got time for today.
Yeah.
Before you do the news to use or lose,
yes.
Putting together cows, which we've spoken about today.
Yes.
Big
cows, knickers.
Germany, which we've spoken about today.
Yes.
And generally living in a place where you're scared at the moment.
Yes.
Imagine living in this little town in southern Germany. It's a tiny little town called, it's on the edge of Holzkirchen, and they're having a huge argument in this orderly and peaceful market town.
Yeah.
Because of a long-running battle, a legal battle over cows and cowbells. How much cowbell is too much cowbell?
You mean that
I imagine that was your biggest problem.
Are people complaining about the noise of cowbells?
Yes. Well, and also the manure and the insects that come with it. But that's the town's biggest problem.
I wish that we had that biggest problem.
Mm.
That's a good biggest problem to have.
That's something to worry about.
In case you were wondering, no Rich Mulholland this morning because Rich had something on that he said he couldn't get out of, but we'll have him again next week, Monday. Thanks for joining us today. There's lots more still to come. Here's the un-news. Patricia DeLille is feeling very excited about her new party. It's called Good, and she believes the political landscape needs something good, finally. She says it's an honest approach by a party with a name that matches the intentions. Next year is also a good year to be on the lookout for a new splinter party following this theme. Names like theft, corrupt, hate, scandal. Keep an eye. Starbucks have banned YouPorn from being accessed on their free Wi-Fi. YouPorn are outraged by this, but also quietly happy that their content is so good that people will watch the channel even when in a public place drinking coffee around everyday other people.
I mean,
it's ridiculous. Banyana Banyana sadly did not win the women's AFCON title over the weekend, but they did provide something for South African football fans to be proud of. This, thankfully, will last for a few months now, as Bafana Bafana are only scheduled to disappoint the nation in March on the 22nd when they take on Libya in AFCON qualifiers. So, live on this one for a little longer. We will see you tomorrow. Have a good day on the...
In the what?
Of the what?
Of the who?
Of the why? That's right. That's what I said. Didn't you hear me? I said, have a good day. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.